But is that what Scripture says? It does talk about gently coming alongside, absolutely with gentleness, but coming alongside and challenging. And where sin is not being responded to and understood and given up, it even talks about admonishing. And there's a level that kicks up, and we've seen Christ get pretty firm with some sin. The voice of Jesus Christ gets very real with sin. Very real with sin. Man, if the voice you're hearing says, "Don't worry about it, do whatever," you are not hearing the voice of Jesus Christ.
More of Him, less of me. That's my cry, that's my plea. I wanna be completely His.
Welcome to Completely His, the teaching ministry of Harvest Bible Chapel Peoria and Senior Pastor Tim Harkness. We've been looking at who Jesus is through His own words, the I Am statements of Jesus. On today's program, we ask, what does Jesus mean when He says, "I am the door"? It's a simple statement, but packed with meaning as we seek to follow Jesus, the true shepherd. So if you have your Bible, we are in the book of John, John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10, for part 1 of the message, "I am the door." Here's Pastor Tim.
We're in a series called The Great I Am. And we're going through, who does Christ say He is? And these are the words of Jesus Christ about Himself. And He started using the phrase, "I am," and then He fills it in. "I am." And we've looked at Him as the bread, and we've looked at Him as the light. We've looked at Him as the great I am, as He left it just at "I am," right? And Jesus Christ, man, He is awesomely in charge. And today we're going to be digging into another passage where Jesus uses the I am statement. He says, "I am the door," or "the gate," depending on your translation. "I am the door." And so turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 10, starting in verse 1. John 10, Jesus is saying, "I am the door." So simple question, what does it mean and how should I respond? What does it mean and how should I respond? That's what we're looking for today, all right? So the first point, Jesus is the one true shepherd. Listen to His voice leading you. Jesus is the one true shepherd. Listen to His voice leading you. All right? He starts out in chapter 10, verse 1. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens." Let's just hold right there. So we'll back up. Jesus starts out, "Truly, truly." And we've talked about this. When we hear that twice over, He's saying, "Listen up," right? "Truly, truly," like, "Listen up. I've got some good info for you, and you're going to want to hear this. Truly, truly, listen up. I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber." Okay, He's speaking to the nation of Israel. They're used to this metaphor. They understand this analogy. He's talking to a bunch of people who understand what it is to farm and what it is to have sheep. And it is what it is to shepherd. And so when He says to them, it's like somebody going in the door of the sheepfold. They were like, "Oh, so true." Right? And we're like, "Give me a dictionary. What's a sheepfold?" And so what is it? They would go and they would grab a bunch of rocks and they would build up walls around. They would leave one spot that was open where the sheep could go in and out. And they would build these both in the city where they would take care of them at night if they came back towards the edge of town. Multiple shepherds would let their sheep stay in the sheepfold there. They would actually have a gatekeeper over that one. So it was a lot larger and they would pay somebody to protect the front of that. When you were outside, out in the wilderness or out kind of wandering and getting some grass and water for the sheep, they would build those out in the that area and they could stay overnight out there. Then they would just build it like that, where there was the stone and a single door and a little bit smaller. So this was made to provide some protection. It was to keep the sheep together so they wouldn't just wander away. And the shepherd could kind of keep tabs on them, take care of them, and be able to protect anything from going out or anything from going in. This is a sheepfold. Basically, we would probably call it a pen today, right? And that's kind of what it was like. He says, truly I say to you, he who does not enter the pen, the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. Notice there is really one legit way into that thing. It is through the door. And if you're climbing over the wall, you don't belong, right? That's what he's saying. He's like, just so you know, those who are trying to come in from a way that isn't appropriate, they're stealing something, man. Something doesn't belong to them, and they're trying to take it, and it isn't appropriate. In fact, they say here, the ones who climb over another way, well, they're thieves and robbers. Those two words are very similar for us in our language, but for them, thief, it meant kind of conniving, lying, twisting, using words to deceive in order to get in. A thief used the words often to deceive. The robbers, well, those were the guys who hung out like out on the wilderness roads, and they were like in bands of gang, and they would attack you and take your stuff while you passed in that way. And he's like, you were either the conniving, lying, cheating, urban kind of guy, or you were the guy who was out there, you know, who would beat you up as you walked down the road kind of guy. But either way, you didn't belong. That's what he's saying, okay? And so you're going into the sheepfold over the top, over the fence. Everybody just say, doesn't belong. Man, forced entry is not the plan, right? And let's make sure we understand who God is and what he's calling us to and how he's calling us to it, and we go after that. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door, and he's the shepherd of the sheep, the shepherd of the sheep, he belongs there. He knows the door. He knows what's going on. He knows the sheep. And in fact, it even says next that he knows the gatekeeper. To him, the gatekeeper opens. So this is a little bit more of that sheepfold that's set up a little closer to town where multiple herds of sheep are kept there and gatekeepers are hired. And he walks up to the gatekeeper in the morning and he's like, hey, how's it going? And the guy's like, good, good to see you, man. Go ahead. Right? He's that guy. And then somebody else walks up and they're like, hey, how's it going? And he goes, fine. What do you need? Right? And the guy's like, well, I was just wondering if I could get past. No. I have three shepherds that belong in here, and you aren't one of them, right? That's what's going on. And the gatekeeper, kind of allowing somebody through that belongs and not allowing somebody through that does not belong. And he's like, yeah, the gatekeeper knows me. I am the shepherd, right? He's saying, be careful. The shepherd is going to be the one recognized and the others aren't. And as he talks through this shepherding, we're getting a strong understanding of who Jesus Christ says he is. Now, he doesn't specifically say right here, I am the shepherd. In fact, he'll say that in verse 11, and we're going to deal with that next week. But he is talking about himself as the shepherd here, and that's the allusion at this point. He who enters the door is the shepherd. Everybody say, that's Jesus. That's Jesus, the shepherd of the sheep. To him, the gatekeeper opens, and most likely the gatekeeper there would be representing then God the Father, okay? God the Father is probably represented there. And the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. The sheep hear his voice, and literally a ton of shepherding is done vocally, talking to the sheep, where they get used to your voice, they get used to your tone, they get used to the sound. They even know that you know their name and you call them out. He named the sheep, okay? And this was an interaction, a very close, warm interaction that went on between shepherd and sheep. Note he used the shepherding analogy and not some other farming analogy. I know my dad has a farm up in Northwest Illinois, a little farmette, and it doesn't have any tillable on it anymore. He actually bought it for hunting. But so we go up there to hunt, and my girls were up there with us a number of years back. They used to hang out and go hang with some girls across the road, and they were about the same age, and they used to run around and play at the farm and have a blast together, and there were these little calves that they kept in these little huts, and they were all perfectly kept and perfectly fed. And they're like, oh, what's their name? They don't have a name. What do you mean they don't have a name? We don't give them names. Why don't you give them names? Don't need to say anymore, right? They're veal, man. They're going to be sold. And so they didn't get as close to them. They fed them. They took care of them. It was a part of their livelihood, but there was not the warmth and tenderness. Jesus doesn't use that analogy, okay? He uses the analogy of the shepherd with his sheep who's caring for them over time, who knows them by name, who calls them out, and his sheep hear his voice. There's money to be made in the shearing of the wool, but he's taking care of the sheep. And everybody say, that's a big deal. It's a big deal, man. We have Jesus Christ caring for you and for me. And the sheep, they hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He leads them out. They understand what's going on. They grasp when he's directing them, and they grasp when he's taking them. They'll call him by name. It says, when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him. He goes before them, and the sheep follow him, okay? So the true shepherd is not in back with a whip, right? Come on, move it. Right? That's a cowboy, right? And he's not talking about the cowboy analogy either here, right? He's not like, and then the shepherd gets behind them and drives them with a whip to where he wants. That's not what it says, right? It says he gets out in front of them and he leads them by example, going to the geographic location he wants, in the speed he wants, the way he wants. That is a shepherd out in front, leading the way, modeling by example, taking them at the pace you see fit, shepherding. Okay? And man, how much we can learn from that analogy in our own homes when we're called to shepherd our homes. And hey, dads, husbands, are you shepherding or are you a cowboy? Are you running around driving the home? Get over there! Right? Or are you getting out of front and saying, right here, here's where we're going to be. Let's do this together. There's a shepherding, a partnership as you go out ahead and lead the way. As you talk about what it means to be spiritually on fire for Christ, are you and leading them with you? That's shepherding. Okay? Christ is like the analogy here. He's the shepherd. And he's like, just so you know, follow me. I know exactly where I'm going and at the pace we should be going there. And I know where we're headed. Follow me. Just so you know, there's an art in following. Did you know that? It takes a lot of skill to follow. When the guy starts walking up this way and you start walking this way, is this following? Like, that's not following, right? And how often are we like, this is our prayer life. We're like, I'm so going over here. Jesus, please come over here with me. Who's following who, man? Right? Our prayer is, Lord, may I follow you. Not, Lord, will you follow me? He's out in front leading. Are you letting him lead? That's the challenge here. He's like, just so you know, the true shepherd, he gets out in front and he leads. And the sheep, they follow him. They know his voice. And what does following look like? The shepherd is out in front and the sheep are following behind. That is a dedicated shepherd going out there time after time, year after year. And his sheep, they know he cares. He's put years into them and he loves them. And they follow him wherever. And that's following, man. Are you following Christ? Or are you breaking off on your own and trying to get him to follow you? Let's make sure we're following after the great shepherd. Jesus Christ, he is the shepherd. It says the door is open to him. The gatekeeper allows him in. The sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own sheep, he goes before them. When he has brought out all his own sheep, what does that mean? It means this, that when you take these sheepfolds that are closer to the city, multiple shepherds would put their flocks in there, right? We talked about that. And so in the morning when the shepherd gets there and the gatekeeper says, okay, you can go in. Well, now what does he do? He's like, all right, I'll take that one and that one. And no, that's not what he does. He just calls out in whatever voice the shepherd, you know, whatever he does. I don't know. I'll make something up. He's like, ay, 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 right? And they're like, oh, I recognize that voice. That's my shepherd, right? And then he starts walking and he just starts calling, ay, 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 and they follow. And that's what's going on. The right sheep come out. Well, what about the other sheep? Do they start following? I mean, they're sheep. Sheep follow sheep. Do they follow? He kind of answers it right here. He says, well, they go before him and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. So he stands at the gate and he chants out, and some of them push to the back of the sheepfold. They're like, whatever that is, that's not my shepherd, right? And the others are like, oh, that's mine. And then they go and they're following along, and he walks out ahead of them and follows. They follow. That is the image that he gives us. Now the catch. You and I are the sheep. You get that, right? And the analogy here is calling us to be the sheep. Do you know the voice of your shepherd? Do you understand what it means to follow him and listen to him? And I just wrote these words down. The voice of Jesus. Here's a few elements to the voice of Jesus. And we may not be able to hear the audible voice of Jesus, but I'm telling you, in content, you can tell the voice of Jesus. And number one, he will celebrate rightness. Man, whatever he's calling you to is going to celebrate what is good. And that's going to be a huge content piece to the voice of Jesus Christ and listening to know you're hearing your Savior. And he celebrates what is right. Number two, he does point out sin. He does. Man, the world loves to celebrate selfishness, and the world is on this game plan. Dude, do not tell someone they're wrong, right? But is that what Scripture says? It does talk about gently coming alongside, absolutely with gentleness, but coming alongside and challenging. And where sin is not being responded to and understood and given up, it even talks about admonishing. And there's a level that kicks up. And we've seen Christ get pretty firm with some sin. The voice of Jesus Christ gets very real with sin. Very real with sin. Man, if the voice you're hearing says, don't worry about it, do whatever, you are not hearing the voice of Jesus Christ. That's the voice of this world, all right? Number three, Jesus tenderly calls for change. He tenderly calls for change. He does. He's like, man, we're going to do something here. And we're going to make much of God, but we're going to see a change in your heart. And I don't like change. I don't have an answer for that. Just start liking it. Like, I don't know what to tell you. That's a bad plan, man. Don't go there. And like, God's got a plan for change, and you're gripping onto something that you shouldn't grip onto, and it's time to let go of it. And yes, he wants to make a change in your soul, and there's some things that are time to let go of. You may even know what it is. And don't cling to it, man. Let go of it. Your God, he calls you to change. Make sure you can recognize the voice of Jesus. By the way, I'll just say this. I put the word tenderly on that. He tenderly calls us to change. Why? Because there are those who try to call for change. There are those who try to point out sin, but they do it with an absolute bashing along the way, a crushing. And note that Jesus does get pretty firm with those who won't get real with their sin. But for those who are like, Lord, what needs to change in me? There is a tenderness and a gentleness and a carefulness in taking care of them, all right? And those who are a sheep, he cares for gently. And he celebrates the good. He points out the sin. He tenderly calls for change. Number four, he brings hope. The voice of Jesus Christ will bring hope. If the voice you are hearing constantly demoralizes, constantly tears down, constantly says, tomorrow doesn't have it, it's looking bad, man, it's looking bad. And I'm just telling you, you're missing the voice of Jesus Christ. Somebody else is whispering into your ear. And make sure you get to know the voice of Jesus. He does bring high hope. And last, he will always lift up God in his glory, not man in his. Always God in his glory. This is just a few elements of the voice of Jesus Christ. Are you listening to the voice of your shepherd, or are you beginning to let the world that should be stranger start to become a voice you're used to? Who are you responding to? Man, be careful. Make sure you're hearing the right voice and responding to the right shepherd. May Jesus Christ be able to lead you out in front of you. And don't go running off and demand he come follow you. You follow him. May Christ get all the glory. All right. So there's a guy walking along in a city with a friend. Cars are honking. You're hearing the engines roar as people are taking off from stoplights, the heavy engine of the trucks, and you know, as they're backing down again, and you're hearing the brakes release as they get to a stop, and you're hearing the ksh, and the noise all over the place of it, and the people talking, and the feet shuffling, and they're walking along talking, and he says to his friend, oh, I love that. I love hearing the sound of a cricket. And the guy's like, nuh-uh, you don't hear the cricket in this. Listen to all this noise. And he's like, yeah, I do, man. The guy was a zoologist. He worked with crickets all the time. In fact, there was some things he was studying with them. They were super important to him. He got so attuned to hearing the sound of a cricket, he could hear it anywhere. And as they're standing there on this busy street corner, he's like, you don't hear it. Right over here. It's got to be right up against the wall somewhere. And he's like, can't hear a thing. And he's like, yeah, that's sad. Pulls out a silver dollar, flips it in the air, and you hear ping, ting, 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 and like six people stop in their tracks, and they're all looking around. And then somebody picks it up, and they're like, is this somebody's? And you know they're hoping the whole time, I hope nobody claims this, right? And their ears so attuned to the sound of coin, but not attuned to that. Hey, question, what are your ears tuned to? What are you hearing? Who are you listening to? What are you looking for? And if you're in tune with, for example, something like, Lord, make much of me, you're going to probably miss the voice of Jesus as he tries to make much of God. Like, be careful what you're in tune to. Listen well for the voice of Jesus. He is the true shepherd. He belongs. He belongs. And we need to listen to him.
Thank you for listening to Completely His, the teaching ministry of Harvest Bible Chapel Peoria and Senior Pastor Tim Harkness. To hear or view today's sermon in its entirety or for additional sermons, please visit www.harvestpeoria.org. If you've been impacted by this message, we would love to hear from you and hear how God is at work in your life. You can email us at completelyhis@harvestpeoria.org. Again, that email address is completelyhis@harvestpeoria.org. Harvest Bible Chapel Peoria seeks to make complete followers of Jesus Christ to worship, walk, work, and witness for him. We are located at 401 Cimarron Drive in East Peoria. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to join us for one of our services on Sunday mornings at either 9 or 11 or Sunday evening at 4:30. For more information on Harvest Bible Chapel, please visit us online at www.harvestpeoria.org. Thanks again for joining us this week, and we hope you'll tune in again next Sunday as we seek to be completely His.